Blog Talk Radio.
That real shit, yo.
Butterfly in the sky.
Come on!
I can go twice as high.
Let's get it on.
Take a look.
Nigga.
In a book.
My nigga.
Reading rainbow.
You think it's a game?
I can go anywhere.
Suck my dick.
Friends to know.
My nigga.
Ways to grow.
Nigga.
Reading rainbow.
Here we go again.
I can be anything.
Same old shit.
What?
Nigga,
in a book,
my nigga,
reading rainbow.
This is the shit I be talking about. You think it's a game? You think it's a game?
I'm trying to be a DJ, you know.
Just ain't meant to be. Really don't matter, cause you never should've, would've, ever could've been like me. I can get you what you want, anything at all, girl. All you gotta say is please.
Yeah, that's Mobb Deep and Nas with Dog Shit, a song about dog shit. We're here on Jamie Joshua Live. Reading Rainbow.
That real shit, yo.
You know, because I want to learn today, and you're gonna teach today. You're like the teacher.
You could say it's a teaching, but more just a a lesson in self-discipline of knowing what to do and what not to do.
All right, because my question for you this week was about Dr. Dre, Keep Their Heads Ringing. I was like, did you ever play that?
I played the hell out of that song.
Yeah, so I started thinking, like, there's probably songs like that that I like that he played, but then a lot of songs that I like that he probably didn't play, so... I'm wondering, like, your reasons as to why you would or would not, you know, play songs. Like, you know, that's DMX. You know, what song from DMX would you go to, like, frequent?
Oh, Party Up. Party Up all the time. Party Up's always good. Rough Riders Anthem's always, you know, pretty good. It just depends on the crowd. You can throw back to what they want. But if you notice, like, each of these, this is just the DJ's dilemma. Each of those were singles that hit the charts. And that's really what it comes down to when you're deciding what you will play and won't play. It's like, it's not even so much about what you like or even what sounds like a bop in your head. You know, you could hear a song and think, man, that's good. But if it's not charting, it's not good. But like Keep Their Heads Ringing, like you kind of mentioned that one earlier this week and said that you just kind of had a question about it. And yeah, that one was really hot when it came out. I played it a lot. I played it so much then, but if I had the opportunity now in the right, you know, the right crowd and the right, you know, bar, club, whatever, doing some throwbacks, it's one of those that I haven't played in forever, but I know I could hit it today and everybody would be like, oh, yeah, I remember that. So that was a good one, for sure.
Yeah. Then with DMX, you mentioned Party Up and Rough Riders Anthem. Maybe How's It Going Down or X gonna give it to you.
X gonna give it to you. I forgot about that one. Yeah, that one's hot too. That one's good too. But basically, at that time, X gonna give it to you was a Swizz Beatz thing, I think, too, because Swizz Beatz was big when he was producing stuff. Almost everything that he produced that hit radio went big at the time. So and then he just kind of disappeared. But yeah, X gonna give it to you. That's a good one. It's a good one to think of. I didn't even think about that one.
I think that's the key. You said at the time. Because later on, like 2011, and DMX's later albums, you probably didn't play like any of DMX.
Hi. Yo, Scott, what up, baby? Hi, I see you, my nigga. Let's go.
See, like, this one, like, you know, it sounds good, but you probably never played it.
Right. Well, and it's like you said, it's kind of like the time passed for that sound, but it was still his sound. So he didn't really change or evolve, which, you know, you can call that, you know, keeping it real if you want, or you can say he wasn't trying to keep up commercial to make money, or it just could be that his sound was not the sound of the times, and that's kind of it, too. It's like, you know, that rough voice of the Ja Rule, you know, Ja Rule was fake with his, at least DMX was, that was his real voice. But that, like, rough-sounding, gargle with razor blades kind of rap style was big for a while. You know, it was hard, but then eventually, yeah. You know, you move on to different styles, and that's what hits.
It was almost like him and Ja Rule, it was almost militant with their way they did their hooks. It was kind of like a military chant, almost.
yep.
Ja Rule... Damn, I still listen to Jaw.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's like, it's good stuff. It's just that when it comes to, let's be honest, you and I got older, the music got younger, and just like, you know, I don't want to be that old fool. You go, oh, it's better back in my day. No, but it was different. It was different. And, you know, just because I still love it, and I still listen to it myself, and love it when I get to do a party or a club or something that's that style of throwbacks, that's great, but... Ultimately, that's not all people are listening to today, even though they know all those anthems and they'll still, you know, chant along to them. Like you said, military, they're chanting, you know, they'll chant along to them, but it's not the same as, you know, when it hit. That was just how it was when it hit. And now it's like, oh, that's a throwback to something I remember.
Yeah, no. Oh, let me see here. Got a couple more I want to ask you about. I was thinking about Bone. Now, we're here in the Midwest, so obviously you had to play Bone.
Yeah, absolutely. And not because I'm in the Midwest, just that stuff was, when it came out, it was such an original style, the whole, you know, fast rapping and just the whole cadence of all of their rappers. And they, even though they were all a little different, they had a very similar style. It was so original that it took off big. So, yeah, absolutely.
Who's your favorite member of Bone? And tell me, why is it Wishbone?
I don't even know that I have a favorite member. I mean, honestly, it's like each of them contributed a lot to the – it's like kind of asking me my favorite member of NWA. I can't tell you my favorite member of NWA. Each one of them contributed something different. Same thing with Bone. It's like they were all in a similar style, but each of them had their own, you know, cadence but they flowed well with each other, so it wasn't like a stark difference between this guy and that guy, you know, where you think of like, you know, the stark difference between the rapping and then the hook of the person saying, Thuggish Ruggish Bone, you know, it's obviously different. But yeah, Thuggish Ruggish, Crossboat Roads, For the Love of Money, First of the Month, yeah, those all got played.
Well, if you want to hear something good, listen to Wishbone's verse on Body Rock, particularly. I'm a fan of that.
I will pull that up sometime.
get a reminder of it after the show if we go off the air. But you know, a number of years ago now, Prince left us. Like, when that occurred, did that change? Like, were you getting a lot of requests for his stuff?
I wouldn't say that I got a lot of more requests than that. I mean, yeah, of course, there's that initial, wow, he's gone. Let's, you know, let's honor and play some more of his stuff. And, you know, there's medleys that came out that, you know, some DJs and producers kind of put together, bootleg medleys and stuff, just to kind of honor him. I don't think that it was a resurgence. I don't think Prince ever really – he didn't go away as far as his popularity and his playability, but it's it, – again, he evolved, but the scene didn't evolve as much as he evolved. So he wanted to put out more of his new music. I mean, we could talk about Prince, you know, you and I especially could talk about Prince for hours.
Yeah.
But obviously when he – you know, he broke free of his contract. A lot of the reason was so he could put out the music he wanted to and not the music that was just going to hit well commercially. And, you know, he wanted to put his own funky styles and stuff out there, and he did that. So not all of his later works were as well received commercially, but fans of Prince appreciated them a lot. So, yeah, I mean, but Prince never really fell off. I mean, I still play a lot of Prince music at weddings and even in clubs sometimes to this day. So,
and you said you said there about him not being as commercial at certain points later in his career, and certainly not with, you know, albums like the Rainbow Children and everything. But this is why Justin Timberlake and him had a little bit of a thing, because Justin Timberlake had Sexy back, and then Prince made a comment, "Well, Sexy never left."
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like he made Sexy back, and, you know, Prince said Sexy never left. But what it really was is it just evolved, and it wasn't mainstream anymore. And it's kind of like what was the Justin's verse? I missed you on the charts last week. That's right. You wasn't there. That was from the Give It to Me with Timbaland and Nelly Furtado. But anyway, you said that. It's like, yeah, you know, I didn't see. I missed you on the charts last week. Yeah, he wasn't charting anymore. I mean, but back in the day, he was killing it on the charts. So, you know, if you want to put body of work against Justin's body of work, they both did some great things. But, you know, Prince is iconic, and Justin was good. You know, that's there's a difference. Justin is good. Prince is iconic.
Yeah, there's people that came before us and like set the blueprint. You know, that's why I got to shout out Howard Stern for what I do. And the great DJs that you got a shout out, such as when we were talking about when we met up in Las Vegas, it was a DJ Pauly B.
yeah, that's one that I shout out to all the time. No, I mean, well, like, I could out DJ Pauly D, and I'm humble, but I can out DJ Pauly D. But that's fine. I mean, he's I can't hate on him for leveraging his position. You know, he got in a position where he was well known, and you know, put himself out there and. And said, you know, I'm going to DJ too. Shoot, even Paris Hilton, who doesn't even know what a crossfader is, she went out there as a DJ and made some money at it, whatever. I can't hate on them. I mean, they get DJs made fun of, obviously, thinking that DJs, these, especially the big festival DJs, are just up there, you know, spinning a set. I will say this about Pauly D, from what I understand, and I've never gone to see him perform live because I just chose not to. But from what I understand, he actually does spin on the spot by what he feels the crowd's grooving to. So I'm not gonna hate, and I know you like some Pauly D. I know you wanted your Vegas magazine with Pauly on the cover.
Yeah, I was just a week off from missing that, so I had to order it.
Almost there.
Yeah. Yeah. This like.
Okay. Hey, came in the game getting money. Flip six whip, get money. Niggas get the plan with the money. Click bang for the money, shit change over money.
This is like the last 50 Cent song that he did that I liked. And let's say that I'm just sitting at the house, right? And I'm about to go out and see you playing somewhere. Like, I might want to hear this song, you know? Because it's like the new song that came out. But you probably wouldn't be playing this. If you could explain that.
Because it hit mainstream. And that's the thing, it's like obviously 50's got lots of stuff that I spin, you know, it's, you know, In the Club is going to hit forever probably. It's like the hip-hop version of Usher's Yeah on the R&B side. It's like it's just something that you can play forever. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of times things that are good to listen to at home or in the car on the way there, from a DJ, I'll put it to you straight. From a DJ standpoint, I think I told you this, we are there to play the hits, not to create the hits. So if the song is not already a hit, we probably shouldn't be spinning it, because if there are 200 people in that building and only three of them are really hip to that, because people don't buy full albums anymore. They listen to us, they stream a single, they stream what they've been fed. I mean, and it's, you can, that's a whole other debate about why, you know, why artists do things the way they do, or, you know, why they're not paid the way they should be paid or whatever. But people don't buy a whole album anymore. They stream what they want to stream. So even though you might listen to in your club and in your car, when it comes to the club, DJ's job is to play the hits. And honestly, the DJ's job is to cater to the women. And a lot of the songs that guys love to get hyped up to before the club are not going to cater to the women. And the guys are going to be there because of the women. So if I played a whole night of nothing but, and I can go back to my Ben Bars to do this, play a whole night of stuff that makes the guys just go nuts. If they love it, we'll have no women in the bar. And then the guys will eventually not like that bar anymore or that club anymore because it's a sausage fest. And that's not what they came out for. So sometimes as a DJ, when they request stuff like that, when they request stuff that's like, man, this is my jump, you know, no, nobody, they don't know about it, but they're going to love it. I'm like, no, they're not. They're not going to love it. Trust me, I've been doing this for decades. They're not going to love it because they don't know it, because they're sheeple, and they will follow what they've already heard before. And also, it's not going to do you any good, because now you're going to look like a fool, because I will call you out if I even decide to play it. And I honestly won't play something that I haven't heard myself. If I'm not hip to it, then I'm pretty sure that most of the crowd's not going to be hip to it either, because that's my job. And yeah.
Yeah, I like the whole, I'm here to play the hits, not to break them, not to make them, not to, we're not here to break a new artist in like a, sorry, Corey.
Come back, I am missing nothing.
He came back.
Corey's a trip. Corey's a trip because he's so out there and so weird and so unmarketable that people are interested. You know, that they're interested with what, and obviously, you know, he's not a new artist. He's been out forever, but he's been putting his music out and trying to make, and he's going out and playing concerts, and people are coming to see him and singing along to his songs, but. You know, it's kind of hard to know. Are they with you, or are you just not in on their joke? You know, if you're Corey Feldman, are you not in on the joke, or do you understand the joke?
No,
and you're like, I'm cool with the joke because I'm making money.
Absolutely not. It's the whole like American Idol, like Simon Cowell used to say on American Idol, that these people are really delusional. They think they can sing and all that. It is something going on in there. He really thinks that he's this, you know, Michael Jackson's Michael Jackson passed the torch to Corey Feldman.
Right, exactly.
But he takes it in his head. But we say, like, you know, I'm sure a lot of local rappers and stuff try to get you to play their shit,
right,
club or something. What
and,
if
and,
one
yeah,
of them
sucks because a lot of times it's good stuff. Like, I will listen to it. I'm like, man, it's good, but this is not what we do here. I can't do this for you because of that. Now, of course, you know as well as anybody, working at Evolution, back in the day, Evolution, like Burnsies did this as well, and I'm pretty sure even Major Woody's had this. We had nights where we did feature the local rappers or feature them for a show, or they're opening up for somebody like, you know, Cassidy or Juvenile, whoever's coming through town that they put up on stage. And, you know, in that case, they get their chance to showcase their music, and, you know, you've been part of that before too. And that's cool, and it is a good chance to get your music showcased. But on a regular night, I really just can't. I can't put it back in. And I've done it for a couple people, and I've kind of, like I said, we don't create hits, we play hits, but I've tried to help them create a following for themselves. There's a lot of guys around town, or at least a handful of them, that I've really thought, man, you've got the talent to make it. You just don't have the connections, you know, and I would love to push your music more, but me pushing it in this little club is not going to help you much because you don't have the connection still. And I'm not a connection. I'm the guy spinning music at a club, you know?
Yeah, it's your job. And
right.
The thing that really falls on the artist too, because you have like my friend Save Your Soul, he'd be selling this merch there. You know, he had to set up a whole merch table. Like, he could do things with it. Like, if I was performing, I'd have people there videotaping me, then I'd have that footage forever to just get it to more people, because, you know, on a really good night, you're going to have like 300 people packed in a place, you know, to come and see you. It's not, you can reach a lot more on the, you know, on the internet. But what if I had told you, hey, you know, I have this song that if you play it, trust me, I know you're here to play the hits, but if you play this, it will change everything. And, you know, like the radio DJ who flipped Vanilla Ice's record around from Play That Funky Music and found Ice Ice Baby, like a, this could have been your moment had you played what I'm about
right.
to play for you.
Yeah, you know, it's nice. Like, I don't want to cut.
Jesus rocks the party, it rocks the party. 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 Yes, sir!
Again,
ride
right?
that echo.
Ooh. Thanks for the gift of the life of the land. I live forever by the gates of hell. You gave me a job to do, and I do for you well. I'm the law of the land. I make.
You know, I had to have a "Let's kill the hater" moment.
Yeah, you sure did. You sure did. Yeah, and it's funny though because it's like there are a lot of people that go, you know, this, you'd help me out so much, you'd help me out so much. So yeah, but I'd hurt myself in the process, and it's a hard thing to get somebody to understand is like. And I've had this a lot of times where I've had a club that has a format. They come up to me. They say, can you play this song again? Just play this song. Just play this song, man. What if I pay you $20? What if I pay you $50? They're like, well, they're paying me hundreds and hundreds of dollars to not play that song. So, and if I, like, what if I match them up tonight? So, great, you can match them up tonight, and then I won't be here next week. So I made you my one-time hit from you, and then I'm never going to be back. They don't want me back for playing, you know, something that's not good. And, of course, not good just means not known. It doesn't even mean that it's not good. It means that it's not known. I used to push, like, and maybe they – yes, they were my friends kind of, but they were also what I considered to be pretty big back in the day. Moody, Buck City Boss, and then, you know, Lamar, Degrees. I pushed a lot of their music because I felt like it had a lot of appeal. I felt like they rapped well. I felt like that they were produced well, which is when you're talking about Let's Kill the Hater that you just played, you know, besides the fact that it's terrible, it's produced like crap. You know, and production means everything. You need if you want me to even consider playing your local stuff, it has to sound in line with the other stuff that I'm playing. Because if all of a sudden I'm mixing it in and the quality just drops, you know, not just talent quality but sound quality drops, it's, you know, I can't work with that.
Not just talent quality, but the actual production, yes. But yeah, Lamar is just stellar, though. You know, he is on a
right.
Yeah, he is up there with the professionals. You go and put him in a mix of everyone else, you wouldn't know that this guy wasn't Eminem.
Oh yeah,
on that
lyrically list. Delivery, his production, how much he likes the music, you know, and the way he puts his music together. You know, he's got tremendous talent. And I'm like, hey Lamar, if you're listening, you know, I haven't talked to you for a while, but still love your stuff. But yeah, so it's like that's the truth. It's like you could have people that just they really put their heart and soul into it, even if they think they're never going to break, even if they've said, you know what, my life took a different turn, I'm not going to break, but I still love this music and I'm still going to put it out and I'm not going to put out an inferior product because it still represents me. And this is not on the hip hop game, but like my brother was part of a band for a while, and my brother plays pretty much a lot of instruments, saxophone being one of them, and he arranged the horns for this, you know, R&B blues kind of band that his buddy, a friend of ours from high school, put together. And their whole goal the whole time was just, like the band leader, he said, I just want to play out to make a little money so we can get some studio time so that I can record our work. That's it. I want our work recorded. I want it for me. I want it for us. I don't want it. I wasn't trying to break big. I just want to record what we put together. And it was some good music. It was good listening music. You know, it was some great stuff. And, you know, that's what some people want, and that some people, when they give up on the dream of making it big, they don't give up their dream of being good in music. They just give up on their dream of saying, I'm not trying to break out. I'm not going to put my effort into this because to put my effort into this, I have to take my effort away from my family or from my wife or from my kids or whatever it may be, or my job that actually pays my bills, and I've had to make a decision, mm-hmm. and my decision is I'm going to keep making my music, but I'm not going to be putting it out for the same reasons.
Yeah, that's part of the whole thing. I know a few people that have a similar path there. It's just, mm-hmm. yeah, it's tough. You can deal with some. I got a couple more, though. A couple more.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm sure years ago you played some music from this man, but you might not be playing him as much these days. So that's another artist I'm curious about, if you're still playing his new, especially his new stuff.
We the people, and all we do, reserve the right to scream, fuck you!
It sounds like old kid. Kid Rock, you know?
Your mask, take your pills. Now the whole generation's mentally ill. Man, fuck Fauci.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely Kid Rock. There's no doubt about it. That's the Kid Rock we know.
I'm so vital, does the media embrace it? Big Dog does it and they call him racist.
We the people.
Big Dog.
We the people. Let's go, Brandon. We the people.
You're probably getting requests for Let's Go, Brandon.
We the people. Fuck Facebook. Twitter too, and the mainstream media, fuck you too,
fuck Facebook, fuck
see, Twitter. See, this is how I kind of feel about, like, this is not just a message about Kid Rock, but in general, obviously in a lot of music, there's a lot of political message behind it. There is going to be, but if it's super confrontational, I guess I should say, or I don't know if it's just gonna stir up the pot a little bit, and I don't want to alienate anybody. My job is out there to make everybody happy. So for the most part, for something that's politically driven, like that particular song, like We the People's, without a doubt, completely politically driven. So somebody might love it, and they may love most of the message in it. But the bottom line is, you have just now split your audience in two. And for Kid Rock, he did that a long time ago. You know, he took a path. And, you know, he stood by it. And if that's his heart's conviction, that's great. If he's doing it to make money, well fine, that's great too. whatever makes it. If you decide, okay, well, like, this is the people, this is the clientele, the crowd, the people that I'll cater to, because this is who I want to sell my stuff to or who's going to buy my stuff. But he's a guy who has taken several paths. He took, you know, he started off as a hip hop artist, you know, he's a rap artist. And then on the next thing, you know, he was a hard rock artist. Then he was more of a pop artist and a country artist. And then, you know, he's a little rock. So maybe it's just all the different facets of him coming together. Maybe that's all it is. And if so, that's real genuine and that's cool, because none of us love just one thing. But I think in the same way for, like, when I think of, let's see, Jelly Roll, for example.
Oh.
Hip-hop artist. I've met the guy many times when he was coming up as a hip-hop artist out of Tennessee, and he came through, you know, did concerts here in Columbus all the time, and, you know, I met him. He's a cool guy, but he's always talking about Trap House and whatever. You know, he had lots of good songs and some that were okay, you know, and then he went the country route, you know, recently and blew up, you know. So is he ever going to go back to rap? Probably not. He's making money. Hmm. He's making bills. But I give him a lot of respect because I know for a fact this is a man from the Nashville area. That's where he grew up. So, yes, he's going to have lots of country influences. You know, Kid Rock being from Detroit, he's probably got a little bit of everything in him. You know, you can't say, oh, Detroit is known for this kind of music. It's not. You know, Motown, I mean, obviously it's known for Motown way back in the day, but he's probably got a lot of influences. But anyway, back to what you're saying, would I ever play it? No, it's just too too confrontational, it stirs the pot too much for me.
I think you should.
If I had a song all about Black Lives Matters, I'd be the same way.
I think you should play it on the day you quit a place. Like, say you're working somewhere and it's like someone hires you. And you're like,
as soon
okay,
as somebody hears
I quit.
It, I don't get hired anywhere else.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I'm DJing until I am. I'm a wrinkly old man in the grave. I'm going to keep spinning, and I'm not going to do anything to burn bridges along the way if I can help it. You know, the networking is everything. You know, and I love what I do, and I'm going to try to continue to do it for as long as I possibly can. So no, I wouldn't do it as a fuck you to anybody. it's one of those songs that, yeah, if it's your, okay, I'll put it this way. If it's your private party at your residence, you hired me to come and do your, you know, your whatever it may be, whatever you're celebrating, your divorce party or whatever it may be, and this is how you feel, this is how your buddies feel, sure, I'll play it. Because that's for you. You paid me directly to play that. But for the public?
Yeah. So you're probably going to turn down my next song, too.
Oh, I'm sure I'm going to love
well,
it.
Well, I wrote
I'm
this
sure
song
you put it in here because
Christian
you knew I was
going to
love it.
I want to teach kids the Christian truth. If you want to reach those kids on the street, then you got to do a rap to a hip-hop beat. So I gave my
I want to teach
you. He raps like I rap.
The Christian
is big and it keeps getting bigger. That's because Jesus Christ is my nigga.
Okay, that's not how I rap, because that ain't happening.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he rapped like me right up until they dropped the N-bomb, because that's something I don't do.
Again, these are all things.
Otherwise, that sounded every bit like I would rap.
Again, like if you ever want your last day as a DJ and you really wanted to screw the place over, you know, just watch fights break out everywhere. Those are the two records you would play.
well, with that one, I actually do. I do a Christian school. I do their dance at least once a year, maybe twice a year. I do a Christian middle school, and I get requests for some Christian rappers and stuff. Maybe this one's going to come in. You know, maybe it's going to come in, and yeah. I'm still not going to play.
If you want to teach kids the Christian truth, if you want to reach those kids on the street, got to do a rap to a hip-hop. Okay, Joker 305, the guy from the Grand Theft Auto game, apparently.
But, yeah.
You were explaining this to me because I still don't even really know what the deal is. I just remember seeing him, his music video. Fuck. Everyone go to YouTube. After you listen to this, go to YouTube and look up Joker 305 fuck, and you'll thank me later. But what's the deal with that? And you said that he probably won't get nothing from this lawsuit. He's still like I seen him on Instagram. You know, he's still trying to get money. Like Grand Theft Auto, we gotta talk.
Yeah. The quick version of this: this guy down in Florida. His username is Joker 305, or his rapper name, whatever. Then Grand Theft Auto came out with a trailer, basically it was stereotyping Florida and people from Florida, and it used scenarios of people and pictures that are out there in the public domain, and it's parody. It's technically parody, so they get away with all this. That's why he's not going to get anything out of it. But they basically put out all these videos that have been on the internet. They redid them, in whatever Unreal 5 engine or whatever they're using for the Grand Theft Auto game. And they redid all these things for it, and one of them was Joker 305. And the worst thing is that after they put his image on there, he actually did more to make himself look like that image in his future videos to kind of drum up some support for himself and saying, hey, they're stealing my image, and I didn't like it. It was only for like two seconds or something like that, but they, stealing my image. And I don't think he can get anything out of it because they're parodying Florida as a general thing. And yes, they used things that were out there, but they were things in the public domain. They weren't like using copyrighted material so much. They were using things that are in public domain that they find on YouTube or whatever. I'm going to go off script a little bit here to talk about this. There's a song by Skrillex where in the song, this song breaks down and this girl screams, oh my God. And what it is. And then he's got another one that goes, call 911. And what he did is he ripped those literally from YouTube videos. One of them was a girl doing the cups, was doing cup stacking. And she just like beat her personal record and goes, oh my God. And then he puts it into this, dubstep song, and it's huge, but he can use that because it was in public domain. So there's that. That's first of all public domain, but second of all, it's parody, and parody is protected by copyright, which is why
it falls under
even
fair use, I think.
Yeah, fair use, because though Weird Al Yankovic, when he does all his parody songs, he usually gets permission. He usually makes sure that they get a cut. Technically, he could fight the battles in court to not pay them anything because all of his music is parody, and for parody, you're allowed to do parody. So. It's fair use as parody. So even though he did Gangsta's Paradise, like Coolio was not happy about Gangsta's Paradise at all. But as far as, Amish Paradise, he stole Gangsta's Paradise. But Weird Al actually had his record people reach out to Coolio's record people, and they got permission and said, yes, you can do it. And they made a deal. Coolio had nothing to do with the deal, though, because he didn't have the publishing rights, which is a whole other subject, but he didn't have the publishing rights. He was really upset about it because he's like, you've made fun of something that was serious and deep to me. Like, this was the life I live. This is the life of the people I know live. And this song has a deep meaning. And then all of a sudden you're talking about an Amish paradise and parodying the song. And, I guess that from what Weird Al said, obviously Coolio's passed, but Weird Al had reached out to him to, apologize and say, this is not my beef. And even as far as I remember, Coolio even said something like, I'm not mad at Weird Al for doing the song so much as the fact that maybe he didn't think of what the meaning was, but I'm kind of upset that the way the path went is that I didn't have a say in it. So But either way, parody, fair use.
Even Ezekiel thinks that my mind is gone.
Yep, exactly.
I saw Weird Al at the state fair. He came here in 2007, me and my girlfriend, Kelly. My girlfriend at the time. Saw him. It's a good show to see live. But
yeah.
Some people are no longer alive. Segway. You notice me the Segway king tonight.
yes, you are. You got it. I'm setting you up, though. I'm setting you up. I'm throwing you the softballs. You're just knocking them out of the park. Go ahead.
The DOC is talking about using AI to make his new album.
Yes.
Because they can recreate your voice and everything. That's
I'd love it.
I hope that happens. Yeah,
I'm scared of shit about AI, but I love the things that could possibly happen because of AI when it comes to something like that, because in this case, he would be still writing all the lyrics, and then it would be rapping them in his style of, you know, back in the Funky Enough days or whatever before he had his accident. So, yeah, I would love it. I would think it'd be cool because it'd be all the stuff we never got to hear that he could have put out.
Yeah, and people that don't know, like, this is a guy that was writing for Dr. Dre on The Chronic, and, you know, he wrote a lot of the stuff that everyone loved. It's just, you know, he'd have gone to be one of the biggest superstars. Like, you probably wouldn't have even had Snoop. You wouldn't have needed to have Snoop. Dre had the DOC already. But,
I don't know. I mean, they're definitely different styles, but, yeah, he had the right style for the time, for sure. You know, and it's like, that'd bring so much back so much nostalgia if he could just put out some albums of what he would have liked to have, you know, that he was struggling to come back with. Because I did listen to Helter Skelter, and I liked it enough, but of course his voice was raspy and airy because it was damaged, you know.
I have a secret plan.
Yeah.
Secret plan. It's on all that. This is like the first good use of AI that I've heard of. Normally it's like to make fake political ads, make like Obama say something he really didn't, or to generate, you know, fake porn or whatever. But of course,
Joe Rogan is advertising everything now because of his AI. Everybody's stealing Joe Rogan. I think it's the voice that they must have mastered first, but yeah, he's out there hawking everything that he never even signed up to hawk.
There's a funny one, my friend Taylor, who I had on the show last week. He sent me one this week of Joe Biden and Ryan Seacrest. Ryan Seacrest interviewing Biden person. But, they're doing music. Whoever is, like, anyone could do it, I guess. But there's this Tupac and Nate Dogg. And let's take a listen to this for a minute. And just, it does kind of sound like them. Like, it's eerie, you know, it's creepy how much, like, it's like, is this a new, like... I mean, the production is kind of...
Yeah.
Staring at the walls in this four-cornered room at night. I cannot sleep, nigga, I'm about to lose my mind. So many battlefields lost to end up behind bars. For some shit I never did, cause these bitches at my thoughts. I'm a thug, not a rapist. You might hate this music, but I ain't the one to blame. So let's face it, you made us this way from the cradle to the grave. And we're tired of being slaves to a system that hates us. Dictates what to think, you're spreading lies daily. And then you wonder why we can't trust. It's evident they keep us intoxicated and dumb. Little nigga reach for the book and pull away your gun. And we might soon take the fight through the White House. Give them a piece of a mind and put their lights out. And as we walk up, they watching this cut, cause they never give a fuck about us.
As I sit
staring at the walls in this four-corner
in my four-corner room,
and I'm counting the days.
As I sit
waiting for the call in this four-corner
in my four-corner room.
It almost makes me sad to hear, you know.
Yeah. Here's what I think about it. I don't think they did as good of a job on Nate Dogg's voice as they did on Tupac's. And the style's right. They got the style right, but the thing that they're not going to be able to duplicate, because you just can't, is the writing. And like, it's like I could hear it sounds to me like this would have been a throwaway song for Tupac as far as the lyrics are concerned, like it's something he wrote, but it's not up to his poetic standards. But as far as like the way that it sounds fantastic, you know, it sounds good. Even the Nate Dogg part sounds good. It's just like they don't have his voice as well, because I'm sure when it comes down to these AI voices things, people are spending more time on the bigger names, and you know, it's like, who could we bring back? And then obviously, you know, Nate Dogg passing more recently than Tupac did, they want to bring Tupac back. I like it, and I do, and it kind of like, if you think about it, the first hologram on stage that we saw was a Tupac hologram, supposedly, you know, supposedly him at it wasn't Burning Man, it was something South by Southwest, I think it was. Anyway, that festival years upon years ago. Is that right? Was that right? South by Southwest? Was that was from?
I thought Coachella.
Yeah. Coachella, you're right. It was Coachella. So yeah, so when they put that out there, you figure like they've got this hologram that they're putting out there, and at the time I looked at it and said, this looks like PS2 graphics to me. It looks, that's PlayStation 2. It's but it'll get better. And the fact is, I think we will eventually be able to do concerts of people that we've never ever, you know, that we never would have been able to do in our lifetime, you know, because either they passed or whatever. But they're going to have these holograms out there. They're going to be singing their songs. But instead of just playing the track, they'll actually be able to maybe mix it up a little bit so it sounds more live, and we're going to get to experience things that we didn't experience before. Like, I mean, even in Vegas, I've seen signs up in Vegas for, like, a Whitney Houston hologram concert. And so these things are going to exist. You know, with AI, it's just going to make it even better. They can basically put out new music. But this is something that I was thinking about. I think I was talking to Kurt, one of my DJ buddies that works in our company, and we were talking about music and how AI is changing things, and eventually that's what's going to happen is we're just going to have AI artists. They're literally going to create a person, and they're going to create a voice, and a bunch of old white men are going to come up with these rappers, these R&B artists, these rock stars, these pop stars, and they're going to put them out there, and we're going to idolize them as hit artists, even though they're not even real people, because that's where AI will eventually take us. And it's kind of crazy how fast it comes.
If it's actually good, people are going to listen. They're like, I don't care. It's fake. I don't care.
Absolutely.
It's good. Oh,
yeah, and that's the thing. It's just coming on so fast, though. It's amazing. It's scary how fast that it's come together. You know, how fast that they've been able to say, we went from here to here in 5 years, you know, or whatever. And it's just imagine, it's amazing, like, how fast technology has evolved. Like, over all these years, we had all this, and then this last century, how much things have changed versus, you know, millennium before. It's like all of a sudden things have changed so much, and they're going so fast and so rapidly, getting better and better and better, that, you know, it's almost scary to think of how fast things are going to change, and over the, you know, 100 years from now, what are things going to be like? You know, it's mind-boggling to me. But that's a different rabbit hole to go down.
Because you used to have to just, like, fix the antenna to even get a picture. Now you can just watch anything you want any given second. And now they're going to have glasses, I guess. Like, you put on a pair of glasses and you have your video on that. It's like, what?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, watching YouTube on my glasses. But, I mean, AI will never be able to do that. I'm sure doing AI Kid Rock probably, like, one of the easier things to do.
Probably so. His lyrics are pretty straightforward and simplistic, and his voice is pretty just, you know, he's got what he's got. So, yeah, I'm sure he could put out some AI Kid Rock and without too much trouble, but not necessary yet. Still, he's still around. He's not canceled yet.
Yeah. He's still sitting there right next to Trump. Him and Trump sitting right there.
He's half canceled, yeah. Yep.
You mentioned Vegas a few seconds ago. I thought you were trying to be the Segway King again, because, you know, I'm going to bring up the bridge.
I know you're going to be in Vegas.
Yeah. Is it the you stop while you're walking on the bridge, like how I would do, just to take a picture or something? Or is it just people sleeping on the bridge? Like, is this a way to get rid of the homeless people? That's what I think it is. I think they use Formula One, like covering up the bridges so people can watch the race. I think they use that as an excuse to get rid of all the people sleeping on the bridges, because when you and I are in Vegas, you know, we know there's at least two always just there laying on the bridge or around the bridge.
Yeah, it's not just the people sleeping there. It's the panhandlers there, the people, playing music or trying to play music or trying to do karaoke, whatever they can do to get some money. But, yeah, I think that's a lot of it, is that it was more like, okay, for Formula One, we got to keep you moving because, you know, you can't just stop and watch the race for free because we got to make money off you somewhere. And now it's, you know, a matter of, oh, well, let's just keep this rule in place. And the rule in place basically is saying nobody can stop, which is going to, you know, that's the homeless population pretty much. The homeless population, the panhandlers, the street performers that don't pay for their spot or don't go to a spot that they're legit allowed to be, that may do it on a bridge. I'm completely with you. I 100% believe that it was an unintentional or maybe intentional side effect, one way or the other.
Like side effect. They stumbled across it, you know. Just happened to stumble across this. And they're like, yep, we can use this. We make this a law.
They'll never say that. They'll never say that, but we're not stupid.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, they come out of the tunnels and they, you know, right there at the Rio, there's a, you know, you see the train tracks, they're all right there. And, you know, they live in the tunnels under the city and by the link, you know, where it always floods, like they're down in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I was going to be, you know, homeless or whatever, that'd be a good place to be, I guess. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's true. My girlfriend and I were talking, we're going the last weekend of March, I guess it's maybe the second last weekend, I guess, how you look at it. We're going to out there the 22nd, and we haven't got a hotel room for the 22nd yet because we have all these comp nights that we were using at Cosmo, and they said this particular night, the Friday night, was blocked off. We could do the Saturday night comp, then we could do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday's comps, but we could not get a complimentary room on Friday night. And they said, I said, how much is it going to be otherwise? I said, 700 or something. I'm like, well, that's not happening. So I started looking at other places, and all the room rates are really high, and I feel like I should have jumped on. Like, the Luxor had a rate for like 191 or something, and because of my status at MGM, I don't pay resort fees, so it would be 191. And I was thinking about, you know, jumping on it, and we never did, and it's like everything just keeps kind of disappearing, and it's like now we're down to affordable options are getting pretty limited. And I just told my girl, I was like, well, maybe we just sleep in the tunnels that night. She's like, we're not sleeping in the tunnels. I said, I don't know, man. We come in on Friday night, sleep in the tunnels for a night, or we party all night, and then we finally get to check into our room on Saturday afternoon, take a quick nap, and then go watch the Blue Jackets lose to the Vegas Knights, and then go about it the rest of our trip. But we can't do that either, because the night that we're coming in, we're going to go see Purple Rain, the Prince tribute, which we saw a couple years, 2 years ago, last year, whatever. We saw it, it was really, it was a good time, so we're going to go see that our first night in. So
are you going to the Sphere?
We have not made plans to, but yeah, I think so. My buddy Andrew, when he went with my friend Haley, less than a month ago or whatever, they went just for their little tour and, you know, or whatever. And a little thing, to be careful about where your seats are, because there are some complete blind spots there that, they call them, you know, obstructed view, and it's like literally no view of the Sphere at all, because you're underneath an overhang. Yeah, so you got to be careful about what you buy there. You're gonna have, if it's cheap, don't get it, because it's gonna be that. But yeah, he said it was amazing. Yeah. He said it was a quite an experience, really cool. So yeah, I think we want to definitely do that.
Well, they should have a way. Like when I was there a few months ago, you can't just be like, take me to the Sphere. But now that it's open, they probably like just take a lift there to get close, like, or ride the monorail past it. I mean, like, I tried to go by the Venetian and everything, but I got wrong information. I didn't get the right bridge. And I'm like, where the hell? I can't see it from here. So I was just all confused. But now
I know
what to
do. You can't stop on the bridge either. Yeah, you can't stop on the bridge, so you got to keep it moving. Keep it moving.
Now they have the law, so I wouldn't even be able to. But it's the wind one. But, I mean, living out there, being homeless, it'd be better than what we have here. It's like 5 degrees this week. It'll be 1 degree next Sunday. Are you a fan of this cold weather?
I despise this cold weather. I mean, I like Ohio. It's like, growing up, and I've been here my whole life. I've grown up in the Columbus area, and this is where I've lived my whole life. And for a long time, I told myself, you know, I love the four seasons. I love that we have all of it. You know, there's no boring season, because it all changes all the time. But, man, you know, the more I get used to going on vacation somewhere warm or somewhere, you know, even in Florida where it's swampy and high humidity and awful. In August, I went there to do a wedding for my cousin's daughter a few years ago, and I'm like, you know what, I can still deal with this. It's okay. It's fine. You know, and then going to Vegas where it's dry heat, and that's a real thing. People say all the time, it's true, dry heat is comfortable to me. Like, I can go in the middle of July and August in Vegas, and I know it's hot as hell. I know it's 110 degrees outside. I don't care. It feels good. It feels good to be out there and walking around, and, you know, you got to obviously wash your sunscreen, but you know, in Ohio, it's like, this is where my business is now. So, like, as far as moving, I don't see it happening anytime soon. But, yeah, I I've got to the point where I don't love winter here at all. I will say that in more recent years, we've had less and less snow, which is good because it means that the roads don't get as bad as they've been. But nah, the cold, I'm not a fan. Speaking of the cold, last night I was DJing at a wedding venue that I DJ at often, and we don't have parking right around the building, so we have to park somewhere else, like half a block away or whatever. And I usually park in this one little gravel lot where they're doing construction, and you know, no problem, free parking. Well, I was thinking that there was another lot that was free, so I parked there, and I actually even told the officiant that he could park there. So luckily, he didn't get towed, but I got towed because obviously it was a private parking lot I didn't know about. But I didn't know until I got out of the wedding. Pulled my equipment outside at the back of the venue, walked down the alleyway to this parking lot, and my car's gone. And then I realized there's a sign on the wall that says, good old Shamrock Towing. So I called them up, and they told me where it was. So I called my girl real quick, and I said, hey, honey, can you come pick me up? You know, bring the other van, because we have two vans now. So bring the other van so it's just easy to load my stuff in. And she's like, okay, I'll be there as soon as can. And then I looked up the address where they towed me. So it's only a half a mile away. So I could have walked down and got it, but I'm like, it's damn cold. It's like 20 degrees last night. So even though I could have walked down, retrieved my car, paid the $156 to get it out, and you know, been fine. I'm like, I waited for her, but it was cold. I would have done it. It wouldn't have killed me. I would have been fine with it. It would have been all right. But yeah, I'd much rather live where it's 120 degrees in the summer and 60 degrees in the winter. You know.
Out here in the cold, towing your stuff. That's the whole ordeal.
Right. Well, no. I would have left my stuff at the venue until I got my car, my van, and came back. But yeah,
you're probably not a fan of this time of the year at all. I asked you earlier today about doing your taxes. Now me, the normal working man, you know, I'll get like $1,000, $1,200. But for you, that's different.
Yeah, being that self-employed. 1099 and my basically the company 1099 is me, my own company, mine and Dave's company. We 1099 everybody, myself included. I always end up owing, and I write off everything that I can. I take all the breaks that I can, take all the, you know, home office credits, you know, the mileage credits, you know, buying a new vehicle, I can write the vehicle off immediately in the first year. And I always buy used vehicles, so every couple of years I'll buy a new work vehicle. But either way, I still owe money. So, yeah, it kind of sucks. But at the same time, I don't know anybody who likes their job much more than I like my job, and my bills are paid from it, so I'm not complaining about it. But there's other things I don't like about the season, too, is because, you know, when I was younger, I did a lot of clubs. Clubs don't pay money. You know, if you're talking to DJs who think they're a superstar because they're DJing in bars and clubs all the time and doing it four nights a week, they think they're living the life. I make more in one night of the wedding than I make in four nights of the bar, and that's true of anybody who does weddings. So I love doing my weddings. But anyway, weddings slow down this time of year. So I do more time in the bars, which I don't mind. I still enjoy, you know, the atmosphere and stuff, and I don't love working until 2 a.m, but I still enjoy it. But yeah, so there's a couple reasons I don't like it. I owe more money right now for taxes. I make less money because it's not wedding season, so it is cold as shit outside. So I got like a lot of reasons that, you know, winter is not my favorite time of the year, but it's all right.
Is that why nobody wants to do their wedding? Because people aren't going to go outside right now? Is that the obvious reason?
I honestly think it's more because people want to do outdoor weddings a lot. People don't get married in churches. There can be a lot of reasons for this, but people don't get married in churches as much as they used to. So they also, you know, maybe it's just people are less religious than they used to be, or maybe it's just the fact that pictures aren't as good. You know, obviously you can't go outside for your pictures as much. You know, if you want to go outside and get your wedding photos done, it's not looking good outside unless it's snowing. I mean, if it's snowing, but you know, that's a pretty picture, but otherwise, you know, it's not. And maybe it is just that they figure it's cold, you know, they don't want to get married in the cold, or travel. They figure like that it's harder for people to travel. If, you know, your out-of-state relatives, whatever it may be. So, like, I've thought about that. If I lived in a warmer environment, great, I'd be doing weddings all year long. But it's not like there's going to be more people getting married. It's just going to be spread out more. So instead of me, you know, doing three, maybe even four a week, four weddings a week sometimes in the summer, but usually about three, I'd be doing, you know, two. And then I'd still be doing two a week in the winter instead of going up. Weddings have slowed down, so it's time to get some club jobs in. Like, I was looking at my calendar. I'm usually really busy on Sundays, but like from now until April, it's almost the end of April, I don't have a Sunday wedding. So it's like the good part is I got Sundays off. bad part is I don't have money. So, trade-off.
Well, I have Sundays off too, you know, so we could do this show, and I don't pay you. So it works out good.
And I'm sure you're raking in the loot from the show, though, right? You know, because if so, then I will ask for residuals.
I mean, I offered to buy the drink in Vegas, but you were like, no, I'm paying for it, you know. So I mean,
that is true. That is true. I didn't buy the drink in Vegas. You know, I had to feel like a baller in front of my lady. You know.
any final words about is there anything that I'd be surprised by? That maybe you played that I'm thinking like it's a song that, you know, just like a song that you would think like isn't a hit, but you played it because of some reason.
Oh man,
maybe a request, or maybe you were doing a wedding and they were like, hey, I really love the, you know, song Corey Feldman made, you know, could you play that?
I'll tell you what I get a request for at weddings, somewhat often. But I absolutely refuse to ever play unless the request comes straight from a bride or the groom, but it'd usually be the bride. A lot of times, this is wedding advice in general for if you're ever a wedding guest, don't be this guest. I'll give you an example. A girl came up to me and said, hey, you got to play Rebecca Black's Friday. Do you remember the song Friday by Rebecca Black? Friday,
yeah.
It's Friday. Gotta get down. Okay, it's a terrible song. And she knows it's a terrible song. And she was a teenage kid that just put it out there or whatever at some karaoke thing. But anyway, They'll request it's like, oh, you got to play it because it's Friday night. It's a Friday night wedding. And we used to play it before we went out. And, you know, it was always a fun time. We'd just kind of giggle and laugh. And then we'd listen to it on the way to the bar. And it was a funny thing. It'll be so funny if you play it. And I'm like, it'll be funny for you and maybe for her. And these other 200 people in this room are going to be like, what the hell is he doing? Yes, DJ the Terrible. Why is he playing this song? So, like, there's stuff like that that – I would say it'd be surprising if I did play it, and I usually don't. I said, you know, if it comes from the bride, I will do it for you, but otherwise you're requesting a song that nobody wants to hear except for you. And I really don't want to put anybody under the bus, but I had an uncle of the bride last night even, at my wedding last night, that asked for a specific song that was just not appropriate for a 20-something, 30-something couple getting married. It was an ancient song from an ancient rocker who never made a single song that was danceable in his life. And he requested this, and I said, I'll see what I can do. And I did. I tried to see what I could do, and I'm like, is there any way I can fit this in? No, I could not. But the songs that – okay, anyway, so back to the songs that get requested that you may not think of. What gets requested a lot besides hip-hop. Hip-hop is very popular at weddings for the end of the night. Mm-hmm. 90s and throwbacks are popular earlier in the night. But this one, they were requesting a lot of emo music. So it was like they were requesting Panic at the Disco and My Chemical Romance and stuff like this. And they were killing it because these people loved the song. So even though they're not danceable songs, they were big sing-along anthems for this age group. Which is cool. I mean, it was cool because it's like I love to mix in things that I wouldn't typically play, but they did work. So in this case, it was The Black Parade by My Chemical Romance and I Write Sins Not Tragedies by Panic at the Disco. So those last night were some pretty ones that I don't play often, but they really just killed the dance floor. I mean, like killed it in a good way last night for the couple that I was working with. So
do you play that song?
Oh, High High Hopes, yeah. That actually gets requested sometimes, too. It's a weird one because I think that in their minds, a lot of times, it's a good song, but in practice, it doesn't really hit. So to give you a real quick rundown of how we do music requests from our couples, we have a whole online planner where they fill out a bunch of information for us, and on that information is also a music request list where they will give us a list of must-play songs that we limit to a certain number because of just time constraints, and then a list of play if possible songs, meaning that these are great suggestions that we like, play if you can, and they can do a lot bigger than that. So they can basically request more music than we have time for, or they can just give us a few songs to kind of guide us in the right direction, then we can take requests and mix in our own stuff, whatever. But a lot of times I'll see High High Hopes on their must play list, which is probably the only way I'm going to play it because I know from experience it doesn't usually hit. So if you put it on your must play, it means something to you, or maybe it means something to you and your friends. So it's going to hit for you guys. But at the but for the most time, if I see it on the play if possible side of the list, I'm probably not going to mix it in just because I know it doesn't hit the way that they feel like it's going to hit. You know,
so you're playing a song. You're looking when you play something, you're looking at the people and you're like, yeah, this ain't doing it.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, a lot of times it's judging, it's feeling the vibe, because, you know, I don't want to, you know, they say you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can look around a room sometimes and feel and get a feeling for what these people are into. And a lot of times I get that feeling during at a wedding, during cocktail hour or something like that, because I'm playing music during cocktail hour that we've kind of discussed, seeing whose toes are tapping, who's kind of singing along to these songs or whatever. Same thing for dinner time. So I get a feeling for what dance time might be like, because there's sections of the night when you're breaking it down to a, you know,